This is the fastest hour in radio. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Optimize You on Rock 105. Your home for NASCAR. Now, live from the Optimize You studio, here's Casey Orr and Sean Whitfield.
I guess I'll never know. For a moment, I can't wait. I'm holding on to hope. I know you're strong, I can see it. The struggle's getting old. For a moment, I can't wait. Cause you said you're sober.
Welcome back, everybody, or welcome to the program, everybody. Happy Monday to you on this actually quite pleasant summer Monday. It's 6 o'clock. It is indeed time for Racing Talk Radio here on Rock 105. And what a show we have for you. Number one, I'm back. I don't know if that's good news or bad news. I guess that just depends on your view of my participation in this show. But also, we're going to talk about the race in Nashville. Five restarts, only for Joey Logano to take his topsy-turvy season and get a win and guarantee himself a spot in the playoffs. Lots of drama to get to. Hamlin and Larson have a run-in. Overtime, you name it. It all happened, and it was right here in our backyard up in Nashville. So plenty to talk about. Plus, we'll get to points. We'll get to standings, all the other cool stuff. Sean will get into the business side of NASCAR. We got news in the world of NASCAR. You name it, it's probably going to happen on this show. At least if it's NASCAR related. So sit back, relax. It is time for Racing Talk Radio, presented by Optimize You, right here on Rock 105. Hello, everybody. I'm excited to be back. This time last week, I was at Jekyll Island, Georgia. Actually, I believe we were having dinner because we had just arrived a few hours ago. And we're getting ready to see what all we were going to see on that really cool island. So it's good to be back. And it's good to be back next to a friend of mine who, listen, doesn't often get dressed up for me, but he's got the collared shirt on today, a polo, if you will. But it's NASCAR branded, as it should be. Ladies and gentlemen, Sean Whitfield with Whitfield Media Group.
Hey, good evening. Happy to be here. Glad to have you back.
It's good to be back.
Man, seeing you back here in the Optimize You studio is always a good thing. And I can only assume that you and the entire family had a good vacation.
Had a blast. Action-packed, because my wife, like, you're not allowed to sit around, right? God forbid, let's hang out on vacation. But we did lots of cool stuff. If you've ever been to Jekyll Island, it's really laid back. But there's plenty to do, nature stuff, a lot of history stuff. We got to go out on a boat and see dolphins and catch some fish, and you name it, we pretty much did it.
Is it kind of a place, too, for old folks?
I wouldn't say old folks, but it is not like, let's not
too commercialized, like PCB.
Yeah, let's not get 20 friends and go have a kegger. It's not one of those, but if you're just wanting something... the entire island only has 900 full-time residents. It is very, very low key. And you can get everywhere on golf carts. So that was my fun part, is I got to drive a golf cart everywhere, not to play golf.
But it was kind of like being where you live in Windstone.
Except with an ocean.
Cause y'all got over 700 residents up there.
Yeah. That's 700 houses. So probably Windstone has more people, full-time people.
Yeah.
But we don't get to drive golf carts everywhere, but the ocean was cool. Hunted lots of seashells, Evelyn and the missus had a big time. I got to relax, eat a lot of good seafood, have an occasional beer. It was nice.
Did your daughter Evelyn bring back some souvenirs?
Oh, we've got more seashells than you can imagine.
Does she have a fish tank?
No, my wife decided, like, hey, let's get a lot of these oyster shells because they're everywhere. Mm-hmm. And she's going to do some sort of craft with them. So we'll see. I spent a lot of time beer in one hand, picking up shells with the other. Hmm. And that's not a bad way to spend your day, especially because it was like, I understand last week was really hot here. Well, it's also very, very hot in South Georgia as well.
Yeah.
But there was at least a breeze coming off the ocean. So it was still brutal, but tolerable. But a lot of fun.
Now, an important question. How was the seafood?
Very good.
Very good.
So Jekyll Island is, they said, you know, everyone's like, oh, we're famous for our shrimp. I feel like a lot of places near the coast probably say that.
Or but fresh fish. They have good fresh fish.
They have good fish. But it's very nutrient-rich water, so you have lots of wildlife there. And so I did. I had a really good breakfast that had shrimp in it. I did a fried shrimp thing, but they were the giant shrimp.
Oh, those are good. The jumbo shrimp.
Big jumbo, fresh caught that morning. Mm-hmm. And that was delicious.
Man, yeah, that's making my mouth water.
It was very, very good.
Man, do you have a good surf and turf? Any good lobster or anything?
Did not. Didn't do any steak and didn't actually do any lobster. Basically, I just ate I ate a lot of shrimp. I think I had fish one night, but shrimp is, it was good.
Yeah. Savannah, I used to frequent often years ago, and there was a couple of good seafood destinations there. And I know St. Simon's and Jekyll is not far from Savannah, Georgia.
Yeah. A lot of history there. Very cool. You know, great for a little getaway, and we had a good time.
Yeah.
But happy to be back. Like all vacations, I'm not good at going away for a week. You know, like I'm more of a long weekender, kind of like what we have coming up.
I would rather have several short trips than one long one.
Thank you. That, because the entire week, after about 3 days of being out of my routine, you start getting antsy.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
And you start thinking about all the work that you got to do when you get back. Maybe once I'm retired like you, it'll be different. But so I start getting antsy. And then pretty soon,
I'm just semi-retired.
Like, just get me back home. Like, this is fun, but I need to be home.
Yeah, that, I mean, I'm with you. Once I get to four, maybe five nights, I am ready to get back in the routine.
I hate that. That just means I'm getting older.
All the things that we sort of take for granted in our day-to-day lives, when we're away from them for several days, we go, you know, I miss that.
There's a reason why I have that.
And especially, you know, we go to Mexico frequently, as you know, and simple things like the things that I watch on television at night when I get home are not on the same. They don't have those channels in Mexico. So yeah. And then you can't turn NASCAR TV in Mexico, or at least the resort we're at anyway. So yeah, there's things like that that we take for granted, that we're reminded when we go on vacation that, hey, that's more important to us than we thought.
Yeah, there's something nice about coming back home. So it was a quick trip, about 6.5 hours away. The only bad part is you have to drive through Atlanta, which I've realized there's never a not busy time in Atlanta. It's just wall to the wall.
So here's a question for you. So are you free to play some golf because Mrs. Orr has already had enough of you for a solid week and she's ready for a break?
You know what? That is you would think.
I would think so.
But somehow I came back to still a bunch of stuff I had to get done. Mm. And then, you know, because I played golf right before we left, she's kind of like, that's all you care about. You know, that whole thing. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
You into playing golf when it's this hot?
Well, you go early.
Like, what do you call early? Like today, early would have been nice.
Like Sunday, I'll tee off at 7:40.
Okay, now I could get that.
And then you're done by 11. It starts getting really hot about then.
Yeah.
I've got a tee time Friday for 12:30, but I don't think I'll get to make that.
A couple of Sundays ago, we were riding over in Council Fire, and it's like 2 in the afternoon.
Hot.
And there's every hole's got guys on it.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, why in the world would you want to be out there playing golf? And it's in the low 90s and humid, and humidity and heat index is all out the roof.
Because you've got beer and cart girls. That's what they're for.
I guess so.
Just keep you hydrated.
I guess so. I'm glad I'm not into that sport. I don't know if I could afford it.
I don't think I can.
That's an expensive sport.
I'm out there for sure.
Well, I tell you what, we had NASCAR close to home this week, which is always nice. Nashville Super Speedway. I spent a lot of time at Nashville Super Speedway in the first few years that track was created. If I have my dates right, that track opened in 2001. And the NASCAR, back in that time, it was the Craftsman Truck Series and the NASCAR Busch Series back at that time. And it was always known that there'll never be a cup race there.
Never.
I remember they even, after they built a track, Dover Downs Entertainment built a track, they even went as far as to name one of the roads after Bill France Jr. It's almost like, we build it, they will come.
Yeah, same thing with Kentucky.
Yes.
Just build a racetrack and they'll have to come.
And it was a really nice place. I think they spent about $50-something million building the facility. And all they had was a truck date, and they ended up having two Busch dates.
Well, and you had some IndyCar. I remember Danica running.
Yeah, IndyCar was running there.
Running up in Nashville.
But it was never going to have a Cup date. And so that rocked alone for, I don't know, 6-7 years. I lose track of time sometimes. And then the track shut down. Dover shut the track down however many years into it. And it was closed for quite some time. And then all of a sudden, Dover Downs Entertainment decides they're going to sell Nashville Super Speedway. It was almost like, North Wilkesboro Speedway. It was just shut down once upon a time. Except this was a very nice track that they shut down when they shut down Nashville. And then all of a sudden, Speedway Motorsports, SMI, bought the track. And with their leverage of being able to relocate dates and so forth, they decided that, hey, we are going to move a date, and we're going to move one to Nashville Super Speedway.
Remember the
and
argument?
Here we are.
It used to drive me crazy, but the argument of they don't want the sport to seem too Southern, so that's why you want races elsewhere. So let's go to California twice. Let's go to, well, three times if you count Sonoma. Let's go to all these other regions and just try to take the sport nation. Well, I mean, the sport's already nationwide, but, you know, there's the whole thing in sales, Sean. You fish where the fish are, and it's incredibly popular here.
You know, I've not heard that, but that's simple enough that I'm surprised I hadn't heard that many times.
And you've got Nashville, which is this town that has just exploded. I mean,
it's amazing.
The last 10 years in Nashville, it has become a cultural hub.
I've heard there's like over 180 honky-tonks in downtown Nashville
it's
now.
It's insane. And they're all, you know, got some goofball's name attached to them. Country music singer.
Yeah.
But, And it's like, well, let's not take this incredibly popular sport that's incredibly popular with the people that live here. Oh, let's not go to that racetrack. It only makes sense for them to be in Nashville, and I'm glad NASCAR kind of snapped out of it. You know, it's the whole, you can't do if you build it, they will come. Obviously, NASCAR didn't go with that. But you also can't do the if we race, people will show up. Because there's several racetracks that prove that's not the case either.
Yeah, and just like Kentucky Speedway, you know, they spent millions of dollars building that place. It took Speedway Motorsports acquiring it and moving a date. And the same way here again, Speedway Motorsports bought the track. If I'm not mistaken, they took one of the New Hampshire dates away and moved it to Nashville Super Speedway. And, of course, now there's been conversation going on with city government or metro government in Nashville, I think is how they do things, and with the state of opening up the old Fairground Speedway. So there is a possibility that someday we could not only see cup racing as we're seeing now at Nashville Super Speedway, we could even see cup racing at the old Fairground Speedway in Nashville. My opinion is if that were to ever happen, it would possibly be like the All-Star Race.
All-Star Race weekend in Nashville is a home run waiting to happen for NASCAR.
And I agree.
I do not, you know, you have your All-Star Race, and then the very next week, go race at Nashville Speedway. The teams don't have to travel. You get a ton of media.
No, I think they need to separate them a little bit.
You're locked into all that.
I think just doing it like they have it on the schedule now, where the All-Star Race is in May, then bring them back to the Nashville Super Speedway in June. But, yeah. Nashville is a large enough market and centrally located well enough in the Southeast that I think it would work well.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. So anyway, and it treated us to a heck of a race, Sean. I mean, it used to be you couldn't have five overtimes, and then we were treated to a race that had five restarts, five overtimes that eventually saw Joey Logano. And you know what?
Set a NASCAR record.
Leave it to him to win a race and what has been a completely upside-down year for him. So why not? Why wouldn't he win a race that is this crazy?
When you think of Nashville Super Speedway, there's one thing that's unique about Nashville Super Speedway. What is it that comes to your mind?
Unique about it?
Yeah, what's unique that's different than virtually any other track?
Oh, gosh.
The easy ones are the ones that are easiest to forget.
Yeah.
Number one, it's concrete.
I was going to say it's concrete, but then I'm thinking Dover's like that.
And it's the largest concrete.
Yeah.
It's the largest. It used to be owned by Dover.
Carl Edwards.
Now it's owned by Speedway Motorsports. So, nevertheless, it is a track that puts on a great show, and it certainly did that. There was tons of excitement. And as I hear sometimes NASCAR fans say, I need to have my fair share of the old drama.
Got a little bit of that.
There was plenty of that at the end because you didn't know who was going to be able to survive and who wasn't, meaning it turned into a fuel mileage race. For example, Tyler Reddick came in third. On the first green-white checker, he was in 24th place. So that just goes to show you, just give you a little taste of how this thing shook out in
dropping like flies.
That they were. And of course, we're going to break all that down coming up, excuse me, after the break. But in the meantime, we want to make sure that everybody out there knows, if you missed any portion of today's broadcast or you miss Racing Talk Radio when we're on each and every Monday at 6 on Rock 105, you can find us in podcast form at your favorite podcast platform. Just search Racing Talk Radio Download. That's Racing Talk Radio Download. Also, we are presented by Optimize You. You can find them online at OptimizeYouChattanooga.com. We got a whole lot more NASCAR to talk about and discuss as we continue. For Casey Orr, I'm Sean Whitfield. Stay with us.
We'll be back faster than the last lap at Talladega. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 105.
Hi, I'm Mandy Livingston from Your Home Radio on 98.1 The Lake. Attention all ladies, listen up. Are you feeling tired, loss of energy, weight gain, or low sex drive? Then your hormone levels might be low. I've got the solution for you. Optimize You Chattanooga is a hormone optimization center that specializes in hormone replacement therapy. They changed my life and they can change yours. Find them online at OptimizeYouChattanooga.com.
NASCAR is cranking up, and Sean Whitfield and Casey Orr will get you right in the middle of it. Tune in Mondays at 6 p.m. for Racing Talk Radio, presented by Optimize You on Rock 105, a production of Whitfield Media Group.
Join Ed Jones and Clint Powell each Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Vital Health Radio, presented by Vascular Institute and Vein Clinic on 98.1 The Lake. It's a radio show about living a healthy life, a production of the Whitfield Media Group.
At Texas Roadhouse, they're famous for their hand-cut steaks, fall-off-the-bone ribs, made-from-scratch sides, ice-cold beer, and their irresistible fresh-baked bread.
They take great care in everything they prepare, served with big smiles at a great value.
Texas Roadhouse is always focused on providing legendary food and legendary service.
Download their mobile app, place an order, and pick up curbside. Texas Roadhouse, located at Shalafin Road and I-75.
Love some fresh Mexican food? Do you like to eat healthy? I've got the place for you. Check out Dos Bros Fresh Mexican Grill. They offer tacos, healthy bowls, burritos, nachos, salads, and quesadillas. They're located at 2396 Lifestyle Way, Chattanooga, right behind the Embassy Suites at Hamilton Place. If you're a student and need a job while in school, Dos Bros is now hiring and offering a sign-on bonus. See store for details.
More NASCAR ahead with Casey Orr and Sean Whitfield. Now, back to the show. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 105.
Welcome back to the program's Racing Talk Radio here on Rock 105. Sean Whitfield and Casey Orr each and every Monday at 6 o'clock getting you up to speed on all the NASCAR news and info you need to know. Today, talking about the Ally 400 from Nashville. It actually turned out to be the Ally, 450 of the 31 extra laps. Five restarts, the most in NASCAR history, that saw Joey Logano, a past champion driver that's had a hard time staying in the top 16 in points this year, Sean, getting the victory. Definitely a fuel mileage race in what was a very, anxious, tense, who's going to run out of gas next type finish. Oh, yeah. But a big win for Joey
Like I said, good for him. It's been such a weird year for him. Of course, he's going to win the race with the weirdest finish.
It did. There's a part of me that thinks, okay, that's way too many green white checker finishes to have five overtimes. But then there's a part of me that had me on the edge of my seat.
Yeah.
At the end of the race, wondering, okay, who, number one, who's going to win, but who's going to be able to win and have enough fuel to win?
Well, and it's got to be the right kind of race. Like, if this happens,
and then wins the next wreck.
Yeah, if this happens at Talladega or Daytona.
Talladega, is that what you're going
to say? Daytona or Talladega. Daytona or Talladega. You don't have enough. You can't go around that many times. Like, everyone would have run out of gas trying to get. You couldn't have five restarts, I guess, is what I'm saying. You know, NASCAR used to cap it at two, and on the third attempt, if something happened and they threw the caution, then the field's frozen. I'm with you. You don't want this to happen all the time, and it doesn't. I mean, mm-hmm. This is kind of a one-off. You don't want these carnival ride endings every race, but it is fun when it happens, and that's kind of what makes it fun. So I'm glad that they could just, you know what, once more around the bend, Captain, why not?
It's sort of like watching these crew chiefs and these drivers get prepared when there's going to be a race on rain delay, when they see radar where the rain's coming.
Yeah.
Their strategy changes, just like their strategy had to change yesterday. A lot of the teams realized, I heard one crew chief being interviewed earlier today. He said, you know, last Tuesday, we recognized that this could potentially be a fuel mileage race. And it was a situation for a number of the drivers and crew chiefs. They had planned on enough fuel for one green-white checker, one overtime finish. And, of course, two, depending on how many laps are in between each overtime, depending on what kind of cleanup's got to go on the racetrack, if there was a wreck, that just adds more to the drama, adds more to the strategy. Because they oftentimes, don't know how many laps there's going to be before the green or for the green flag. So it became a very entertaining race without any question at all, because nobody was that prepared or was prepared at all. There was a whole lot of luck going on there at the end, and Joey Logano managed to figure out how to ended up in victory lane, which he needed to win badly.
It's so funny because his luck has been so bad. I kind of equated it in my mind. It was like watching a roulette wheel. Like, it's spinning and the ball's going around, and you know someone's got to win. Like, it's eventually got to happen, but it's kind of dumb luck at this point.
Yeah.
And, it reminds me of back in the days, those fuel mileage races. You'd see the drivers go down on the apron and turn the car off and try to coast as long as they could, and then turn the car back on, trying to save gas. But like I said, I don't want it every time, but it means when it does happen, it is interesting, it is special, and it made for, I mean, it's kind of must-see TV.
Yeah, because there in the final few laps, we thought, hey, Denny Hamlin's got this thing won, especially when Ross Chastain ended up in an accident. But that's certainly not the way it ended. And, of course, a driver that needed the win badly was the driver of the number 22 Shell Penske Ford, and that is Joey Logano. He got his 33rd victory in 562 NASCAR Cup Series races. This is his first victory and sixth top 10 finish of 2024. If I'm not mistaken, his other two fellow teammates with Penske both already have wins, but Joey was the one that was still needing the win in order to secure his spot for the NASCAR championship that's going to be coming up with the final 10 races. This is his first ever victory and third top 10 finish at Nashville Super Speedway. And, of course, so far there has been four NASCAR Cup Series races at Nashville. Zane Smith, rookie driver, came in second. He posted his first top 10 finish in one race at Nashville Super Speedway and his first top 10 finish in 2024. That just goes to show you, a guy that we hadn't even been seeing on our radar came in second place, Zane Smith. That's how crazy this race was.
All right, here's a name. Let's see if you can remember. The last time the 71 car finished in the top five in a cup race was 1987 at Watkins Glen. He finished third that day. Do you remember the Life Boy buoy, life buoy 71 of Dave Marcus.
No, I was sitting here trying to think who the driver of the car was, but it was Dave Marcus.
Dave Marcus in the 71. Look at that. Look at that bad boy. So that is definitely a throwback.
That's I never remember even seeing that car.
Well, it didn't do
old Dave Marcus.
71 doesn't just have the best.
Do you know
history.
What Dave Marcus was known for in the garage area?
Is this a real story? You don't even
know. No, it's a real story.
Okay. What you got?
His black wingtips.
He had black wingtips.
He wore black wingtip dress shoes.
Yeah.
In the garage. I don't know if he ever wore those driving the car back in that day, but he was known for the black wingtips.
I got to tell you, looking at these old cars, I mean, you know, those are stock cars. What we have now are NASCARs. I mean, I know that's not a real thing, but like you went on Sunday and you drive on Monday, these things.
Well, when you look at the cars of that time versus now, just think about the word safety.
Oh, I know.
I mean, you wonder how there wasn't a whole lot more injuries.
Shoulder harnesses were basically, and helmets. That was about it.
Yeah, and drivers that lost their lives back in those days because safety just wasn't anywhere near what it is today. The driver that came in third was Tyler Reddick. He posted his first top 10 finish in four races so far at Nashville Super Speedway. Ryan Preece came in fourth. In fifth spot, Chris Buescher. Sixth, Ryan Blaney. Seventh, Bubba Wallace. Eighth, Kyle Larson. Ninth, Daniel Hemric. And 10th, Noah Gregson.
A.J. Allmendinger in 11th. Denny Hamlin, who had a run-in with Kyle Larson and ended up finishing 12th. Alex Bowman, 14th. Other drivers of note, Chase Elliott, 18th. William Byron, 19th. Ty Gibbs, 23rd. Truex Jr., 24th. Brad Keselowski, 25th spot. Kyle Busch, 27th place finish. Austin Dillon, 32nd. Ross Chastain, 33rd. Our buddy Michael McDowell leading there for a half a second, but ended up bad transmission. He was out, finished 35th.
I mean, the way the results ended up was nothing compared to what it was looking like it was going to be.
It's like a Talladega
before race. We ended up in overtime. It even looked like Kyle Busch was going to have a great day. He was running in third, and then all heck breaks loose and causes him to fall back in the pack. And Kyle Busch, I think you made comment, started 27th and ended in 27th. Man, his
that's
season.
That's a frustrating day.
That's got to be a guy that just wakes up in the morning and thinks, what else could go wrong in my life?
You know, in the rumor mill going around, is he going to find a way out of RCR? Or at this point, do you just ride this contract out and retire? I don't know.
Where would he go, though?
Listen,
I don't know anywhere he would go that would be any better.
That's true. I mean, there's, but you've got,
especially with Stuart Haas Racing going out,
you got more drivers than cars right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know where he would go that would put him in a better position. He's not going to end up at Joe Gibbs Racing. He's not going to end up in Hendrix. I don't see that there would be any spots available at Penske. Yeah, I mean, I think he's just sort of stuck where he is. Andy Petrie is one of the VPs and director of operation. He's been a major part of Richard Childress Racing. He has just recently retired, so they've brought somebody new in. I read an interview today with Richard Childress where Richard is thinking that, hey, you know, this may be the shot in the arm that we need to try to help turn things around, having a new person in here with new ideas and new way of looking at things. So right now they're just trying to start just throwing things up against the wall, so to speak, and seeing what stick, what work, what's going to work. Richard knows that he's got one of the most talented drivers in the sport, but that he's also got one of the most talented drivers in the sport that is about as miserable as he can be.
And it's not like this is a team that's never had success and they're trying to find it. Exceeded everyone's expectations when he came over there.
Oh, but his first year last year, he had, what, 3 wins?
It's been a constant down, just about the playoffs last year. Up until now, it's just been a constant slide.
Yeah. 3 wins in his first year, and this year has just been absolutely miserable for that race team. There were 15 caution flags for 79 laps, 20 lead changes among non-drivers. Nashville Super Speedway 2024 will be a race that many will remember for quite some time.
And you know what we've got coming up? Chicago street race.
Headed so to the street
course.
I'll
tell you
course,
what, yeah. It is a good time to, especially with the heat, sit inside and watch NASCAR because there's some great races coming up.
And then what comes ahead in July that I am not happy about, but it is the fact of life, and that is that NASCAR is going to be off for 2 weeks due to NBC's coverage with the Olympics.
You know, the Olympics has absolutely snuck up on me.
Oh, it's here. It's here whether you want to hear or not. We're already seeing too much Olympic coverage. It's like a good waste of airtime, in
so,
my opinion.
I tuned into my normal radio show, sports radio show that I like to listen to, and it's on NBC and Dan Patrick's show. And they are having its coverage of the Tour de France. And I'm thinking to myself, does anyone care about the Tour de France anymore? Like, we cared when our guys were doing great. Then our guys turned out to be a giant creeper that was cheating, but everyone did. Now, it wasn't really the cheating that made everyone mad. It's the fact that he lied so much about not cheating. Mm-hmm. That, you know, once our guys aren't in there, and we just don't care. And I'm sitting there listening to this coverage, and this dude, you know, is obviously French or English, is talking about it, and they're real passionate about it. And I'm like, I'm listening to a bicycle race on radio. That's a tough job to get excited about. That's a tough job to paint a picture of. Guy was doing great. I still wasn't interested.
Especially when none of them were Americans.
Yeah. Why am I listening? Why am I listening? Why do I care who went? It could be my neighbor that wins the Tour
and
de France.
Many of them,
I don't
you
think
probably
I care.
Can't even pronounce their name.
Unless I'm getting a trip to France, what do I care?
So anyway, hey, I got to get something off my chest.
That was kind of one of those. I just didn't realize that was still a thing.
I decided that I was going to give it a few races before I expressed my opinion.
Uh-oh.
And that is NBC's coverage of NASCAR. I am just not pleased with
it at all. You're against it?
I mean, Fox has spoiled us. Kevin Harvick, Clint Bowyer, Mike Joy, these are days that it even emphasizes to you more as a NASCAR fan how good those guys are and how good the coverage is with Fox. I don't dislike the guys, Steve Letarte, Jeff Burton, and the main guy. Help me out. My mind's gone blank. But anyway.
Yeah, Rick.
Rick Allen. I don't dislike any of those guys, but they are just not as good, in my opinion, as the guys with Fox. Yesterday, here we are on rain delay. And during rain delay, they're showing us previous coverage of the same race that we had all just watched. Which, I know they got to fill time, but what happened to the days of their pit reporters roaming around the garage area, roaming around the motorhomes, and having conversations with the drivers
Give a microphone
and the crew chiefs
to Michael Waltrip and let him go do something silly.
Yeah, all these guys are just sitting around and, you know, waiting on the track to dry or rain to quit. Go and have some conversation. There was a lot of things they could talk about. Number one they could talk about is the heat and what these drivers were going through. I mean,
humid.
The conditions, I mean, it's 120 degrees, 130 degrees in these cars yesterday.
What was, who was?
And it was even worse Saturday for the Xfinity Series.
Oh, God. You talk about drawing a blank. The dude that used to be great at that got his start on Speed Channel. Now he's like does Flora's Lava and some other shows.
Bob Dillner?
No, a young guy. We interviewed him down in Atlanta just about every year. Big Daddy Kyle. And
he was with Speed?
Had phone numbers. When I say his name, you're going to cry. Oh, this is driving me crazy. But he's perfect at the run around and go do silly stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking, I don't want to watch the race coverage that I just saw. There is plenty of good conversations and dialogue that could be initiated and created during this rain delay. And if that would have been Fox, I think they would have done that. But and plus Dale Jr.'s not.
Rutledge
would.
Yeah.
Dale Jr.'s not a part of the broadcast anymore. which I've never really been a fan of Dale Jr. in NASCAR broadcasting until he's gone. And then I realized, well, hey, the dude wasn't so bad after all. He did bring a lot of commentary to the broadcast that I didn't really recognize until he's not there anymore. So anyway, I was just a little frustrated yesterday, thinking about, okay, we're missing out. This has been a good day for Fox to carry on the baton.
So when we return,
anyway,
from the
that's
break,
my rant for the day.
I was gonna say, when we return from the break, are you gonna yell at kids to get off your lawn or any other old people stuff?
I did
talk about inflation and taxes these days.
I did that. I did that over the weekend. All right. Of course, hey, if anyone out there has an opinion or they disagree with something that I say or Casey says, hey, go to our website, racingtalkradio.com. Just click on Contact Us. Let us know what you think. Let us know if there's something you would like for us to talk about, or if you disagree, tell us why. And if it's radio worthy, we will share it on the next episode of Racing Talk Radio. We would love to hear from you. So go to racingradio.com. Also, too, you can find us in podcast at your favorite podcast platform, Racing Talk Radio Download. And, of course, we are presented by Optimize You. You can find them online at OptimizeYouChattanooga.com. We come back, we'll get into the NASCAR Cup Series driver standings and a little news in the world of NASCAR. We got that and more as we continue. For Casey Orr, I'm Sean Whitfield. Stay with us.
We'll be back quicker than Sean can drink another Monster Energy. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 105.
Are you into fitness, bodybuilding, or just want to live a healthy life?
Are you looking for a new show that's very entertaining and different?
Well, I've got the show for you.
It's Chattanooga Fitness Download, presented by Optimize You. It's a podcast that achieves all of these goals.
Join professional bodybuilder Matt Davis, me, Darren Johnson, and Sean Whitfield.
You can find Chattanooga Fitness Download, presented by Optimize You, at all major podcast platforms.
Also, check out our website, ChattanoogaFitnessDownload.com.
Are you looking to take control of your health and live your best life? Then this is the podcast for you. Join Josh Porter and Mandy Livingston as they share cutting-edge research, practical tips, and inspiring stories to help you optimize your physical, mental, and emotional health. From nutrition and exercise to hormone optimization, we cover it all. So tune in to Optimize Health and start empowering your health one episode at a time. You can find Optimize Health at your favorite podcast platforms or online at OptimizeHealthNow.com.
Vector Security can create you a home automation solution that will give you the convenience and peace of mind of being able to control your security system, lights, locks, video, thermostat, and more, all from your Vector Security app.
Vector Security provides professional alarm and security system monitoring to ensure your home is well protected against all threats.
Vector Security has 24/7 expert security monitoring, lifetime satisfaction guarantee, complete home automation, and is 100% wireless.
Choose Vector Security. Find them online at vectorsecurity.com.
NASCAR fans, listen up. NASCAR is a sport where testosterone is a must. Optimize You has got you covered. Join Sean Whitfield and Casey Orr Mondays at 6 p.m. for Racing Talk Radio, presented by Optimize You on Rock 105.
At Silverdale Baptist Church, we exist to lead people into an authentic relationship with Christ so they will worship God, grow in their faith, and then serve the Lord. Learn more about us and discover a campus and service time that fits you best at SilverdaleBC.com.
Listen up, Chattanooga. We've got a radio show that's just for you.
On the Move Radio, presented by Medicare Misty on 98.1 The Lake, each Saturday morning at 9 a.m.
We're a radio show that's all about Chattanooga and the Tennessee Valley.
Join Sean Whitfield, Amy Morrow, and Barry Quarter as we discuss government, events, entertainment, lifestyle, and so much more.
For past shows, check out onthemoveradio.com.
A production of Whitfield Media Group.
This is the fastest hour in radio with Casey Orr and Sean Whitfield. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 105.
Do
Welcome back to the program. Sean Whitfield, Casey Orr, Racing Talk Radio, presented by Optimize You here on Rock 105. We're here each and every Monday at 6. Today, recapping the wild weekend or wild Sunday that was Nashville Super Speedway. Joey Logano, first win of the season at the Ally 400 as he, I guess, got the best fuel mileage or got the most out of his gas or his tank holds a little bit more. Whatever be the reason, Joey Logano.
It's called pit strategy.
He had just enough fuel to get there, and now our attention will turn towards the Grant Park 165. It is the Chicago Street Race. Sean, we coming back here after what I would call a rousing success last year on the Chicago Street Race, and ought to be a lot of fun. That is coming up this weekend, Sean. That'll be Sunday, July 7th at 4:30. And you can catch that race. Well, it's not telling me, but I'm guessing that's the big boy network. Yes, NBC.
A few final comments about Nashville before we get into the driver standings. Joey Logano's win marked his eighth consecutive weekend the organization has won in either the NASCAR, IndyCar, or IMSA series. This streak includes Newgarden's winning the Indianapolis 500 for the second consecutive year. Zane Smith, it has been a tough season for that rookie cup driver, and even Sunday's race was challenging. His average running position in the race was 28.7, but he finished a career best second, which we spoke of earlier a little bit. Stuart Haas Racing, it's been a very difficult season for the organization, but it placed two of its four cars in the top 10. Ryan Preece had his season's best fourth, and Noah Gregson was 10th. Chase Briscoe was in position for a top five until he ran out of fuel there at the end and ended up in 21st. Daniel Hemric, he tied his season's best finish, placing in 9th, and it is his third time for the season to finish that he finished in a nice spot. Of course, guys that didn't do so well, we already mentioned Kyle Busch, but another bad day for him. He is 104 points now from the playoff cut line, leaving him in a must-win situation to have a chance to go for a third series title. If I'm not mistaken, Casey, this is the 19th year of Kyle Busch's career, and so far I think the first 18 he has always won in a season. Of course, there is a lot more races to go, but unless things improve, he is a long ways from victory lane.
Yeah, he's kind of one of those drivers that, he could turn it on if anyone could, and this could, you know, he could bounce back the second half of the season, but there's literally no signs pointing in that direction. So, and team course, needs a little something to go their way.
And last, the team that had nothing but bad luck was Legacy Motor Club, John Hunter Nemechek finished in 31st, Eric Jones in 34th, and then, of course, both were responsible for cautions periods during the race. So not a good day for that organization.
Big win for Joey Logano, but it's hard to understate what this would have meant for, like, Zane Smith to get the 71 to victory lane. And when you're kind of underfunded like that, I mean, you've got to – things have to fall your way, and this race certainly did. He just needed two more drivers to go that way, and it would have been a big win for Tyler Reddick as well.
All right, let's get into the driver standings of the NASCAR Cup Series after the race in Nashville. We got Kyle Larson leading. He is leading by 20 points over second place Chase Elliott. Third is Denny Hamlin. Fourth, Tyler Reddick. And fifth, Martin Truex Jr.
In the sixth spot, Christopher Bell. Seventh, William Byron. Eighth, Ryan Blaney. Ninth, Brad Keselowski. And rounding out the top 10 is Ty Gibbs. 11th spot, Ross Chastain. 12th, Chris Buescher. 13th, Alex Bowman. 14th, Joey Logano. 15th, Bubba Wallace. And 16th, Chase Briscoe. However, a 17th, Kyle Busch, like you mentioned, Daniel Suarez. 18th, Josh Berry. 19th. However, Austin Cindric in 20th and an 18th spot, Daniel Suarez, both have wins. they would take over the 15th and 16th spot, which leaves kind of the cutoff line at Alex Bowman right now. And there are five drivers inside the top 16 or inside the playoffs right now that don't have wins, and that's Bowman, Buescher, Chastain, Ty Gibbs, and Martin Truex Jr.
Yeah, when I look at the drivers that hadn't won, there's three that really catch my attention. You just included all of them in your list. But on my list, Martin Truex Jr., Ross Chastain, and Alex Bowman. Those are the three guys that I am very surprised hadn't already ended up in victory lane.
Bowman's and Buescher, or I mean, Bowman's got four top fives, no wins. So does Ty Gibbs. Truex Jr., I mean, they've all had good runs, just haven't gotten a win.
And out of that list, especially Ross Chastain, he should have already ended up in victory lane with that Busch Light sponsorship he's got.
He's been several near misses. And Sean, the other thing that's a little shocking looking at the driver standings, I would not call this a banner year for Toyota, but four of the top six spots in the point standings are all Toyota drivers. So not a ton of wins other than Denny Hamlin. And I guess Christopher Bell, so maybe a ton of wins, but those are the only two that seem to be shown out, but the other guys still winning lots of races or getting lots of points and probably going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Anything else about the driver standings you'd like to say before we move on?
No, I mean, we're now getting into, like you said, must win territory for a lot of these guys. It's tough to make 100 points up over other guys that are racing for points as well or trying to get wins. So, if you're Alex Bowman in the 48 and in 13th spot, you are in no way, shape, or form safe right now. You don't feel good about anything. Mm-hmm. Kyle Busch is out there lurking to get a win. Every win of someone on the outside looking in is just taking someone on the inside out and vice versa. So, points are going to become a premium, but wins even more so important as we move forward.
And as I look at wins, we got four drivers that have the most wins, each with three. That's Kyle Larson, Denny Hamlin, Christopher Bell, and William Byron. When I look at that list and I think of each one of those drivers, Kyle Larson automatically comes to the top of my mind as the guy that stands a high chance of possibly being our champion at the end of the year, but also put a question in my mind, and I think, could this be Denny Hamlin's year to finally get a championship? He has been that guy that's always been so close, but yet so far.
Yeah, first ballot Hall of Famer, best driver to never win a championship. I think he's kind of taken that mantle over from Mark Martin. Eventually, he's got to get a win or a championship, right? Well, not necessarily, Sean. Lots of really good drivers, a.k.a. Mark Martin and others, have had...
Mark Martin's the first name that always comes to everybody's mind.
Have had great careers. Carl Edwards, great career, no championship. So, yeah. It's got to be in his mind. Not getting any younger. Really nothing to prove, but would love to have that trophy and be a champion.
Denny Hamlin is signed through at least next year, and there's no changes that are expected, but... The big question mark, how much longer is he going to race beyond next year? Could possibly next year be his last year, or could next year be his last year with Joe Gibbs Racing, and he decides he wants to have a year or two driving for his own race team? What's your feeling on that? Do you think that he wants to end his career where he started? Or do you think he wants to see what the chances are of him winning a championship or running well with a race team that he is actually co-owner of?
Well, I think that's always the dream. Get in there and win in your own equipment, right? Like pull a, Tony Stewart, go have success in something you kind of a part of. However,
which is very difficult to do.
You can look over to your old buddy Brad Keselowski and say, hey, man, how's that working out? And Brad's having a better year this year, but by no means is he lighting it up. And, I mean, hasn't even really gotten a win in his own car. But
one difference there is he was moving into crap. Denny Hamlin knows he's not moving into crap because the organization has done fairly well.
The organization has done fairly well, but it's not a Joe Gibbs.
But it could be a regret, maybe like leaving a Penske. You look at a Penske on the level of Joe Gibbs or similar.
You know,
you're right. You have a good point.
I was listening to a guy, you know, he said, don't ever try to get happier than happy. And it's like, you've got everything in the world going for you, but you just, if it was just a little bit better, just a little bit better, and it's good to push yourself, but trying to get, when you're already happy, but just trying to get even more can, mm-hmm. it can pretty easily get over to greed. And then you make a move and realize, man, I sure did have it all.
That's a good way to look at it. And he could certainly, have those thoughts. No question about it. I would love to see Denny in his career with Joe Gibbs Racing and remain loyal to Joe Gibbs. I mean, Joe is the team owner that gave him a chance, and retire, then maybe run a few races here and there, kind of like what Dale Jr. has done. Let's get into news in the world of NASCAR, and wanted to talk about the potential lineup for 2025. You know, it's already this time of the season where you start throwing out projections. So why not? Let's do a little bit of that. We'll go through one race team, and then we'll take a quick break. Joe Gibbs Racing, as I said, Denny Hamlin is expected to be back. Chase Briscoe will replace Martin Truex Jr. We talked about that last week while you were gone.
Yeah.
That was made official last Tuesday.
Retiring.
Christopher Bell is signed through at least next year, and no changes are expected.
Yeah, guy's got three wins.
Chase Briscoe is... Christopher Bell is definitely a guy that I think is going to get our attention even more.
Yeah, it would be fun to see that 20 back in the championship.
So when you look at the future of Joe Gibbs Racing, things are pretty bright there.
You know, if it's not for just curious what Denny Hamlin's going to do, I think that's a, you know, if this were a stock, I would say this is a strong buy because it's only going to get better.
We come back after the break. We'll talk about Hendrick Motorsports. We'll talk about 2311. And we'll talk about Team Penske, where their current roster is today and where we think it could be in 2025. We got that and more as we continue. And, of course, we are presented to you by Optimize U. You can find them online at OptimizeUChattanooga.com. Go and check them out. That's Optimize U. Chattanooga.com. More NASCAR after the break. For Casey Orr, I'm Sean Whitfield. Stay with us.
Racing Talk Radio on Rock 105.
Optimize U Chattanooga is a hormone optimization and recovery center that specializes in hormone replacement therapy for both males and females. If you are suffering from mood swings, fatigue, low libido, or weight gain, then your hormone levels might be low. We offer in-house lab panels as well as testosterone, progesterone, estradiol, and peptide therapies. We are currently accepting new patients. Know your levels because normal is not optimal. For more information, check us out at OptimizeUChattanooga.com.
Hi, I'm Sean Whitfield.
And I'm Mandy Livingston.
Join us every Saturday morning at 8 for Your Home Radio on 98.1 The Lake.
Featuring a variety of topics all related to your home.
A production of the Whitfield Media Group.
At Texas Roadhouse, they're famous for their hand-cut steaks, fall-off-the-bone ribs, made-from-scratch sides, ice-cold beer, and their irresistible fresh-baked bread.
They take great care in everything they prepare, served with big smiles at a great value.
Texas Roadhouse is always focused on providing legendary food and legendary service.
Download their mobile app, place an order, and pick up curbside. Texas Roadhouse, located at Shalafin Road and I-75.
NASCAR is cranking up, and Sean Whitfield and Casey Orr will get you right in the middle of it. Tune in Mondays at 6 p.m. for Racing Talk Radio, presented by Optimize U on Rock 105, a production of Whitfield Media Group.
Every child deserves a chance for a healthy, happy life. But when pediatric cancer strikes, it leaves a lasting impact on not only the diagnosed child, but their parents and siblings too. The Austin Hatcher Foundation for Pediatric Cancer is here to erase the effects of childhood cancer and empower families to thrive during and after a cancer journey. Through a variety of support programs such as grief groups, counseling services, art and music therapy, and more, we provide comprehensive, no-cost services and care to children and their families. Join us in making a difference. Visit HatcherFoundation.org to learn more and get involved.
Buckle up and hang on with Casey Orr and Sean Whitfield. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 105.
Welcome back to the program's Racing Talk Radio here on Rock 105. Sean Whitfield, Casey Orr, each and every Monday, getting you up to speed on all things NASCAR. Looking ahead at the schedule, we just got done with Nashville. We look at Chicago, the street race. That's right. That's coming up this Sunday, 4:30 on NBC. You can watch the guys week go left and right around the streets of Chicago for the Grant Park 165, 75 laps, 165 miles. That'll be a short race. There you go, Sean. You like those. It was a big hit last year from fans and drivers alike. We'll see what happens coming up this year, this Sunday at 4:30 on NBC.
And if you remember, it was rained style event. It was rain most of the weekend. So I think they had like 5 or 6 inches of rain through the weekend. So there was rain tires going on. So it was a completely different atmosphere compared to what is anticipated for this weekend. So far, the extended weather forecast is looking outstanding. Of course, it's going to be hot temperatures as it is all across the country right now. But it does look like it's going to be pretty much dry conditions unless one of those pop-up thunderstorms comes through the area, which you never know these days. From day to day this time of the season.
I bet it's you and I were just talking, so it was kind of beautiful here in Chattanooga today. Hot.
This morning was really nice.
Had some wind, wasn't real humid, but the rest of the week we're in for the hot stuff, I believe.
Yeah, I think it's even going to get worse come Wednesday. All right, let's continue our news in the world of NASCAR in these final few minutes. Hendrick Motorsports, sort of how the outlook is looking right now for 2025, and I know it sounds crazy to talk about the future lineup for next year, but hey, this is the time of year when things are being discussed because a lot of these deals have to be done and finalized in July and August in order to be prepared for the next year's season, especially contracts with the sponsors. Kyle Larson has signed a deal through at least next year with no changes is expected beyond that. Chase Elliott has signed through next year and no changes are expected there. William Byron has signed through next year and no changes are expected there. Alex Bowman has signed through at least next year, while this seat is most talked about possibly coming open at Hendricks due to his recent performance, but you never know. A win or two could certainly change that speculation, but it looks like Hendrick Motorsports is pretty well established for the next few years.
Well, big news for Hendrick is they won't be bringing along their longtime sponsor, Hooters. Hooters has there was an announcement today that basically they've had to end their relationship to Hooters because Hooters wasn't able to fulfill their obligations, which I believe
that means in a nice way they hadn't been paying their
bills. They haven't been paying their bills, and Hooters has announced they're going to close hundreds of stores nationwide. I think there's have a little rough time right now. I have no idea if that affects the local Hooters.
Did you see the picture?
It's a bummer because I love when Chase Elliott was in the Hooters car. It was kind of a cool wiki throwback.
Did you see the photograph where Waffle House and Hooters would merge?
Do I want to see that?
It showed ladies at Waffle House all in Hooters outfits.
I think I would rather them serve waffles at Hooters. I would rather that transition.
I'll have to send that to you. It's pretty funny.
That's terrible, Sean.
I'm wondering who created it.
That is terrible.
2311 Racing. Bubba Wallace isn't signed yet for next year, but he's expected to return. Tyler Reddick is signed through at least next year. And beyond that, they're not expecting anything to change there. The number 67 is another car number that is likely to be acquired for 2311 from Stuart Haas Racing, with the team already having a Monster Energy relationship. Adding Riley Herbst and the Monster deal would possibly make sense. Corey Helms is a team driver of the future, but he might be a year or two away from being fully ready for Cup. So there's nothing that's 100% with a third ride at 2311, but it is likely it's going to happen.
If you're Bubba Wallace right now, would you be that comfortable in negotiations sitting across from Michael Jordan?
I could see where it could be a little intimidating.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, listen, the performance has not matched the, I don't know if I want to say popularity, the notoriety for sure. Mm-hmm. Tyler Reddick's got some wins. He's got a win this year. He's going to be in the playoffs. Bubba had a good year last year, but there's been no consistency from Bubba Wallace. And at some point, performance does matter, right?
Do you think he could be the Danica Patrick right now of NASCAR?
If I am Bubba Wallace, I sign whatever piece of paper they put in front of me. I don't think I have a lot of room to negotiate. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but do you think he could be somewhat of the Danica Patrick of NASCAR where he...
Danica Patrick was in NASCAR.
Yeah, I know, but where Danica never performed well in the sport. But she was the right person at the right time and fit the piece of the puzzle well.
Yeah, so Danica apparently... Or I mean, she did win that pole that time. Remember how that was a big deal?
At Daytona.
Yeah. But I think Danica, hasn't she kind of gone bonkers and like gotten conspiracy theorist and all that?
Well, I don't know about that, but she's been doing work for ESPN and ABC as part of the Formula One broadcast.
Yeah, maybe I'm just completely...
She's been doing quite a bit of that, actually, even though I haven't spent really any time watching any of the broadcasts, but it's just been scanning channels and I go, oh, there's Danica. So, Team Penske, number two, Austin Cindric, hadn't signed anything for next year, but a win earlier this year and him possibly making the playoffs could secure that ride. Ron Blaney is signed through at least next year with no changes expected beyond that. And Joey Logano is signed through at least next year and no changes are expected beyond that. I see Ron Blaney and Joey Logano both finishing out their career at Penske Racing.
If I'm Joey Logano, I mean, what do I have to prove after my next contract? Just make all the money you can and, you know, see you later.
Yeah, I would agree. All right, we are headed to Chicago, as you said earlier. I'm looking forward to this race.
No, it's always a great watch.
Chicago also brings a lot of good entertainment. They've got a lot of different entertainment groups or bands scheduled to perform. And I think having a race at Chicago sort of puts NASCAR more on the national stage.
You know, it's just a smart move. It was a success last year. They're bringing it back. It's good to show that these guys can get it done at all sorts of tracks. And you know what? I'm looking forward to it.
Don't you think, though, that it puts NASCAR in the view more in the national spotlight because it's being ran on the streets of Chicago?
Third biggest town or third biggest market in the nation. There's going to be a lot of coverage about it because it's in town. It's got kind of an F1 feel to it because that's what they do. I think it's a smart move.
Yeah, I would agree. And, of course, that's all going to be coming up this weekend. It's going to be on NBC. I was a little bit frustrated that NBC had to switch the broadcast over to USA at 7:30 last night and didn't finish out the race on NBC. But due to their obligations to the Olympics, they
had to
move NASCAR to USA.
Had to watch those track and field trials.
I would like to think that NASCAR is more important than the Olympic trials, but
Olympics not to be the case. Man. That's our people. They're going to go represent us.
Yeah, they are, but we haven't even began the Olympic Games yet.
Well, these are going to find out who's going to go be in the Olympics.
I've already had too much Olympics, and we hadn't even gotten to the Olympic Games yet.
Ooh.
So yesterday's race at Nashville was sold out. I expect there to be a record crowd at Chicago coming up this weekend, so we'll wait and see how that all unfolds. All right, Casey, any final words before we wrap towards closure today?
Looking forward to it. Everybody, you have a fun and safe July 4th. Try to make sure you wake up Friday with all your fingers intact.
That is true. You want to be safe out there, and it is surprising how many accidents and how active emergency rooms can be on the July 4th holiday. But we hope everyone has a safe July 4th. We want to thank all of you out there for joining us and making us a part of your Monday. We will be back here next Monday, 6 p.m., right here on Rock 105 to keep you up with all things NASCAR. In the meantime, check out our website, racingtalkradio.com. You can also find us in podcast form. If you missed any portion of today's program, that'll be coming up tomorrow on the podcast. Go to Racing Talk Radio download. For Casey Orr, I'm Sean Whitfield, and thank you for listening.
This has been the fastest hour in radio. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Optimize You on Rock 105, your home for NASCAR. Join Casey Orr and Sean Woodfield each Monday at 6 p.m. on Rock 105. Check out our website and for past shows, racingtalkradio.com. This has been a production of the Whitfield Media Group. From the E.